This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition for the Monday night game between the Buccaneers and the Giants. The Bucks Bulletin was a brainchild and is presented by Brandon Legal Group. When you are in need of legal assistance, call Brandon Legal Group anytime for a free consult. You need not ask me nor them, what type of law does Brandon Legal Group specialize in? Full service law firm. 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME. Or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. They are huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXVIII Holiday Spectacular December 12th at Heritage Isles Golf and Country Club. My thanks to Brandon Legal Group for their continued support of the Todd Wright Tour as well as my podcasts. Bucks Giants on Monday night. Here's the biggest thing you always factor into a Monday night game. First of all, the bad is if there's a player that you think may not play that is listed as questionable, Monday night puts you in a tough spot. Because if you go down to the wire of the actives and the inactives on Monday night, it doesn't leave you with many other options to make a switch in your lineup or even a drop add. That's the biggest risk you run on a Monday night. The good thing about a Monday night is if you have a player going in a Monday night game and your opponent is already, golf term, in the clubhouse, all of their starters have already played by the time we get to Monday. So they played either in the Thursday night game or in all the Sunday games. So it allows you to enjoy the game knowing you're only going to gain on your opponent. Now, you may have already won if they have all their players in the clubhouse. You may already have the victory. But in some cases, I always enjoy, I don't do it every week, I don't base my rosters and my starting lineups on it, but I like having a player in the Monday night game. First of all, it makes the game more fun. This is why we play fantasy football, to watch high-profile games where we have, as Mark Cuban would say on Shark Tank, skin in the game. So I like having a player in the Monday night game. It gives me a reason, another reason to watch the game. I'm going to be watching anyway, especially now that Anthony McFarlane is no longer on the actual telecast. That is so nice. And I think Levy and Riddick and Greasy are doing a good job considering the role they were thrust in this year. I've known Steve Levy for a number of years. He's always been terrific to me. And I like seeing him get this opportunity and have no issue with the way he's called a game. Mr. Riddick is very smart, and Greasy chimes in with some good analysis as a former quarterback with the pedigree of the Greasy family should. So I always enjoy the Monday night game, but having some action on it, having a fantasy player in it, maybe making a Westgate Superbook type wager. Last time I looked, Bucks were laying 10.5, up from 8.5 on a Monday night game. Always makes it more enjoyable. Or I play a DraftKings game. Right now, at the time of my taping, 12:30 on Sunday, 12:30 p.m., DraftKings is not offering a single game showdown on the Bucks and Giants, probably because it's so one-sided, but they're offering a two-game primetime fantasy action on the Sunday night game, Cowboys and Eagles, also a bad game, and the Bucks and Giants on Monday. Not saying the Bucks are a bad team. They're the only good team of the four. So DraftKings has put those four teams together for a two-game primetime combo for Sunday and Monday night. I was just checking the pricing as it relates to giving you analysis for the Bucks-Giants, Bucks-Bulletin podcast. But it is. It's nice to have a player in the Monday night game. It can't hurt you. Because you've either already won, or let's say you're down 8 points. If you have a player in the Monday night game, he might get you those 8-plus points and you win your night. Now, it can work the other way. You can have all your players in the clubhouse and your opponent has a player or two on Monday night and you got to sweat it out. But those are my primary things as it relates to a Monday night game. It's tough to go down to the wire with player decisions on whether or not you're going to put them in your starting lineup. It restricts, if you do, it restricts your options if things don't go your way with a questionable designation. And also having a player in the Monday night game for that final push to try to win your particular week. As it relates to the Bucks and Giants this week, let me just get the Giants out of the way very quickly. Freeman is not playing at the running back position. I see no value at all in Wayne Gallman or beyond. This has just been a continuing problem for the Giants without Saquon Barkley. Freeman's been okay. He's not been okay as a fantasy performer, but he's been okay for the Giants. I mean, this was a running back that we followed for years in Atlanta, who we know has talent. We know he had a lot of, I think, concussion and other injury problems. That's why he stayed unemployed for much of this year. But he knows what he's doing out there. But there's only so much he can do on a bad New York Giants team. The only players of fantasy relevance, and it isn't much, for the Giants are their pass catchers. And I think you start with Evan Ingram, although Ingram hasn't scored a touchdown all year. And I know for selfish reasons, last week in the Thursday night game, if Ingram hangs on to a key third down pass just before the 2-minute warning, the Giants not only win the game, but it prevents my opponent in a league from getting, 10 late points out of Boston Scott on that Eagles final game-winning drive. So if you're in an outdated mandatory tight end league and you've had Evan Ingram, you've been disappointed. The targets are still there. Somebody has to get them. And the Giants have a lot of reverse game flow, especially in this game against the Buccaneers. But he's not producing at a significant enough level, even with the target share, because he's not getting in the end zone. And just overall, he's part of a bad team. So are Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. Now, Slayton was a guy that even I had on one of my teams early this year, because from week 5 through the end of last season, Slayton was among the highest in terms of wide receiver touchdowns. He didn't pick up where he left off because this Giants season has been such a wash. Slayton and Shepard only have value if you're desperate for a plug-and-play wide receiver this week, because maybe you own DeAndre Hopkins and he's out and you didn't have anybody on your bench. Or you have DJ Chark or Keelan Cole. You can't play them this week, so you're just looking for somebody. And I would imagine Shepard and or Slayton might have been on waivers this week. And it's a desperation plug-and-play wide receiver 2/3/flex option that really you don't want to have, even if you like having a player in the Monday night game. There's just as little fantasy. It's tough to find any fantasy value in any player in New York, maybe other than Crowder, looking at both teams and how bad they are. From the Buccaneer standpoint, as we talked about this week in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast, Tom Brady continues to raise his fantasy numbers. Basically, he's just on the outside of fantasy quarterbacks who produce points with their legs, because Brady does have 2 rushing touchdowns, but he's not going to get you rushing yardage. So it's really – it's a guy like Brady, a Carson Wentz, and an Aaron Rodgers, the ones who aren't known for doing it fantasy-wise with their legs, unlike, say, a Kyler Murray or a Josh Allen or Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. It's just off the top of my head remembering the numbers. The primary mode of transportation for quarterbacks that just throw the ball, the best fantasy producers, Wentz, believe it or not, on a bad team, Brady on a good team and Aaron Rodgers also on a good team with his one dud game where the Packers seem to quit against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Brady is a very strong QB1 and certainly a strong QB1 play in this. He's in your lineup this week, no questions asked, even with the Godwin injury. He'll spread it around. We'll get to Mike Evans here in a moment. And if you're playing DraftKings, unless you want to save a little money and drop down to a Carson Wentz, you're using Tom Brady in a DraftKings lineup, especially in that primetime combo of the Sunday night game and the Monday night game. No Chris Godwin. At least the decision was made well in advance, so you Chris Godwin owners could plan in advance rather than hoping he would go on Monday night and get you the points you expect. So actually, the Bucs ruling him out with that finger injury, it helps you because you were able to replace him and at least have time to put in a plan to replace him before the Sunday games kicked off. Every game Godwin has missed has meant more for Mike Evans. And I know at times the yardage hasn't been there for Mike Evans, but he's a favorite red zone target of Tom Brady's. In a game like this, I think Evans minimum gets you a touchdown and is going to get you close to 100 yards. I'd say a bad game for Mike Evans on Monday night from a fantasy standpoint would be 5 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown. That's still nearly 13 points in standard scoring leagues using the fractions for the yardage. And then you can do your own math on PPR, which I call point for nothing. But that's really the worst Evans is going to do in a game where the Bucs have grown to a double-digit favorite. And he's clearly the top target on the field and clearly has a good thing in the red zone with Tom Brady. And also, you know, it seems as likely these days Brady would rather throw to Evans on the 1 or 2 yard line than hand the ball to a Ronald Jones or a Leonard Fournette. Now, both Jones and Fournette have value in this game. Jones' yardage went down last week against the Raiders after having 3 big weeks. Fournette got more involved in the game plan. Both scored touchdowns. Yeah, I think you can make the case. If you're a Ronald Jones owner, he's an RB2 for you this week. If you're a Leonard Fournette owner, he's an RB2 for you this week or a flex play. Beyond that, from a wide receiver standpoint, I'm not excited about any of the other Buccaneer wide receivers. Gronk, maybe, just because Gronk and Brady have it going again. Gronk's been playing through a shoulder injury, but his snap count isn't down. There's no O.J. Howard. Cameron Brake can't do the things that Gronkowski does. Godwin is out. Gronkowski should get more routes out of that. So from the Buccaneer standpoint, Brady is by far the strongest play, followed closely by a Mike Evans. I think a Ronald Jones or a Leonard Fournette has value in this game. I don't know if both of them score like last week. It could go that way, but it's not like you're sitting Ronald Jones, who's, you know, even I own him in one of my leagues. I'm using him again this week because of his production the last 4 weeks, and the Bucs should win this game against a defense that struggles. But Fournette has value, and Gronkowski has value. From the Giants' standpoint, good luck if you're playing Evan Engram or Darius Slayton or Sterling Shepard. You're just kind of hoping it's a sort of a touchdown-dependent play. And maybe, you know, a touchdown once the Bucs are up 14 to 21 points, you know, if you will, blurring the streams here. I watched Ghostbusters for Halloween last night. If you're crossing the stream saying sort of a backdoor fantasy touchdown, that's all you can hope for out of one of those 3 Giants pass catchers. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucs Bulletin is a brainchild and presented by Brandon Legal Group. Remember, you need not live, work, nor have your legal issue originate in Brandon, Florida. to call Brandon Legal Group anytime for a free consult. They are a full-service law firm, and they will take your call at 844-4BLG-4ME. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. 844-4BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Bucks Bulletin. Remember, separate podcast, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, that covers the entire league, not just the Bucks matchup each week. And remember also the Todd Wright Toddcast, nearly 130 episodes of the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is non-fantasy content. It's anything I want to talk about. And some of my Toddcasts recently have gotten polarizing results. So you may like it for enjoyable reasons. You may dislike it for disagreement reasons. But either way, check out the Todd Wright Toddcast for my commentary as it relates to non-fantasy related issues, not only in football, but across sports as well. Thank you very much for listening to my podcast. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Don't post on a message board about my podcast. I rip fantasy owners and commissioners for playing outdated fantasy football. Posting on a message board is even more outdated than that. If you have a comment about a podcast, send it to me personally at right.todd@yahoo.com, and I promise I will respond to you, and we will have a dialogue about what you like, what you don't like, or if you have a fantasy question or some other related question, it is the more honorable and more effective way to go. Email me at right.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.